Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. I bet that gets you ready for worship, huh? Yeah? I'm so glad to see you all. Welcome to worship this Sunday morning. We are delighted that you guys have taken time out of your weekend to come and worship with us. And if you're joining us online, welcome. We're so glad wherever you are that you are watching your screen and worshiping with us at Second Baptist Church today. Friends, I'm not sure if you saw the basket this week with the blue ribbons as you walked in the church. We have a couple of them. April is Child Abuse Awareness Month, and we welcome you to grab a pin like me and put it on your lapel and wear it in honor of these sweet children who are victims of child abuse. And next Sunday, I invite you with me to wear blue on Blue Sunday. We'll join in with churches across the nation and pray for those children who are victims of child abuse. And we'll pray for them, and we'll set a day of worship for them. I am also so glad that we got to see some of you last Wednesday night here for our first Wednesday night windows back in the building. We still have some spots available, so if you're looking for something to do from 6 to 7 on Wednesday, we invite you to look at your second helping and pick out one of those classes that might fit you and come join us for the evening. We have children's programming and youth programming and adult programming alike. And now let's take a moment and prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Now would you join me in our call to worship for today? When the disciples were certain that Jesus was dead, let us watch for the risen Christ this day.
Burst again with new life and new hope.
Easter people, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Dear God, we come before you today to worship you, to praise you, to learn about you, and to hear from you. Let us get out of our own way, God, and bring our focus on to you, today and tomorrow and for all of our days. It is in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Boys and girls, to come join me down at the front for children's time. Y'all come on down. I get to chat with y'all today. Good morning. Here comes Ren. Let's wait just another minute. See if we have anyone else. I'm so glad you guys are here. I have a question for y'all. Do any of you have
a secret handshake? Yes. You do? Yes. Who do you have a secret handshake with, Bennett?
And Bennett do.
Oh, you and Bennett do. Would you be willing to show it to us?
Nope.
Audrey says, nope. You forgot it, but when you get together and you play, you have a secret handshake that nobody else knows about. That is really cool. I'm so envious of those people who, you know, they get together and they blow it up, or they jellyfish it out, or they wave it in, and I love all those cool secret handshakes. Some even use their feet and they kick with their friends, right? And it's only something you and the person that you have the handshake with know about, right? Well, did you know that we have a secret handshake here at church too? Did you know that? And you might not know because you've been leaving for preschool praise and you miss one of the best parts of the service. So I'm going to talk to you about it because you need to know about this really cool secret handshake. At some point in the service, we get to stop what we're doing and Pastor Jake gets to say, everybody turn and wish each other the peace of Christ. Okay, so I need you guys to stand up for me. So when my boys were little, and we've been doing this peace of Christ thing for a really long time here at Second B. It's one of our favorite things. But our boys, they didn't know what we were saying, and they thought we were saying pizza crust. I know. And they had this secret handshake. And can you guys do this thing with your hands? It's almost like a Star Trek thing. The boys had this secret handshake, and they would walk over to each other, Anderson, and they would go, pizza crust, when we would be wishing the peace of Christ to each other. Well, guess what? They had their own secret handshake in the middle of the church's secret handshake. So I want to clue you guys into this secret that we've been doing. In a little bit, we're going to turn to each other, and we're going to say, peace of Christ. But why do we say that? Yeah, why? What do you think?
Because we believe in Jesus.
Oh, because we believe in Jesus. And you know who said peace of Christ first? Jesus. He said it. Jesus said it first to his disciples. And you know what he was saying when he said peace of Christ? He wasn't just saying, hey, how you doing? How's your morning? He was wishing them peace and love and grace and calm because they might have been a little bit nervous when they saw him. Would you be nervous if you ran into Jesus today?
Oh, no.
I think I'd be a little bit nervous. You guys are real confident. And if Jesus came up to me and said, Cheryl, peace of Christ, it would calm my nerves. And it would tell me that Jesus is sending me this really special sign of love and greeting of grace and peace. So you guys, when you get a little bit older and you stay in the service for the whole time, you're going to get to be here for one of my most favorite parts of the worship service where we turn to one another and we don't just say, hey, Bennett, hey, Anderson, hey, Audrey. We don't just say, how are you guys doing? We say, peace of Christ to you, right? And we're wishing love on these people. So in just a moment, I want us to turn and we're going to look at the congregation and we're going to wish them the peace of Christ because you guys aren't going to get to be in here for that part, right? And I want y'all to experience this really cool part of the service. Ren, can you do that with me? Can we do it all together? We're going to turn to everyone and we're going to say on the count of three, one, two, three, let's say peace of Christ. And they will say back to us, peace of Christ. And they wished the same love back to us that we wished to them. Isn't that the coolest secret handshake? And guess what? You can wish this peace on your friends. You don't have to go up to school and say, yo, peace of Christ, when you walk in the classroom, right? But what Jesus is telling us is that we can spread this love that Jesus is teaching us on everyone that we meet. And we can wish the peace of Christ on all of these people. You guys want to pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for wishing us the peace of Christ, for calming our nerves and centering our hearts so that we can focus on you. Be with these precious children as they go about their day and about their week and give them the peace of Christ. It's in your most holy name that we pray. Amen. Are you guys ready to go to preschool praise? Let's go meet Miss Donna. Come on.
You to take a moment to breathe, to be still, and to enter in to a posture of confession. After just a moment of stillness, I invite you to join me in these words of confession. God, our Creator, in your love, you welcome us as your children. With your mercy, you hear our prayers. Hear us, your children, as we come before you. Jesus, our risen Master, in our weakness, in our confusion, in our troubles, you are with us. You offer your peace. Meet your friends as we come to hear you. Spirit, living one, in chaos and darkness, you bring hope. Transform us, your people, as we open our minds and hearts to you. God, loving Creator, Son and Spirit, we come, trusting in your love. And as we open our hearts to your mercy and forgiveness, grant us your peace. Accept these petitions. Accept our worship. Accept us through your love. Amen. I invite you to stand as a symbol of your forgiveness, as a symbol that you have received the pizza crust of Christ.
The scripture reading passage this morning from the gospel is the 24th chapter of Luke. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Brothers and sisters and friends, what a joy it is to gather, a privilege and honor it is to be in your presence and as well to gather in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Steve, thank you. Beautiful, angelic, even, Joy, thank you. Your voice as well, thank you. We need that. I'd like to begin with some words that have just been very important to me over the years and through the years. And this might not be the best for your eyesight, and that's just fine. okay? You can just listen and receive these words. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, and fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests. In his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds, I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I'm free. Yeah. Wendell Berry writes these words, the peace of the wild things. Yeah. The peace of the wild things seems to me a whole lot like the peace of Christ. The peace of the wild things, in other more theological words, might be simply stated incarnation. Yeah. Jesus enters into, now I don't know about your life, but Jesus enters into the mess that is my life. Jesus enters into the mess of what it means to be human. I don't know if you've seen our world lately. I don't know if you've ever read anything about human history. Right? But it's a mess. It's wild and wonderful to be alive. Yeah. Yeah. And this is the peace of Christ. It is the peace of the wild things. Now, this is a fact. Okay? This is a fact. Many of the couples who are sitting so close together right now in our worship service. Many of the couples, maybe they're not sitting too close, you know. Many of the couples who have gathered here for worship this morning. Many of the family members who may be sitting beside one another this morning. They argued in the car on the way to church this morning. And here you are, faking it till you make it. Because that is the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ comes in amongst the wildness. Yeah. And this is a fact, and you may not like it. This is a fact. There are some here sipping coffee in the middle of worship, trying to get over a hangover. Oh, the Baptists didn't like that comment now, did they? A true Baptist passes the peace of Christ to you everywhere except for the liquor store where they never acknowledge you. Okay? And hangover does not just apply to substance use, right? For those of you who worked 80 hours this week, for those of you who are up at 6 a.m. this morning and worked till 9, took a shower, didn't take a shower, to be here with us for worship, to be online with us for worship, you're getting over a different sort of hangover, aren't you? And may the peace of Christ, the peace of the wild things be with you wherever and however you may be. Yeah, this is where the peace comes in. Yeah, and maybe you've experienced tremendous pain, tremendous loss. Yeah, this is where the peace of Christ comes in. My family, I think, we're not watching any shows right now. It's been great. The last several weeks, we get the girls down and we pray and pray and pray. And then we've been visiting at night, not watching any shows. It's been fabulous. I think we're getting over a hangover that we call 2020. Yeah, yeah. And this is where the peace gets in. The peace gets in into the wildness. It's wild and it's wonderful. Yeah. And last week we encountered this incredible story in the Gospel of John. And this week we encounter the same story in the Gospel of Luke. And isn't it great? We get such different perspectives of the same moment. Who plays it better, Larry or Marilyn? I'm not answering that question. But isn't it great that we have both? Yeah. It's incredible. Now John says they're in there behind a locked door. Luke doesn't mention that. Yeah. We get this incredible philosophical connection, as we spoke last week in the Gospel of John, that connects this unspoken, he breathes peace of Christ. He breathes the peace and equates such to the Holy Spirit. It's incredible. Theological. Philosophical. It's incredible. And this week we get a different take. And I think Luke breaks it down. Luke likely, most likely, I believe, this gospel, this community based upon the preachings of Paul differs much than the Gospel of John. The Johannine community likely based upon the first person accounts of the beloved disciple who is, I believe, Lazarus, having been raised from the dead. The Gospel of John is so taken with eternal life, so taken with that which is beyond human comprehension. It's beautiful. It's incredible. And Luke takes a different path, doesn't he? Yeah. Breaking it down, I think Luke demonstrates that the peace of Christ, demonstrated on such a grand scale in the Gospel of God, in the Gospel of John, in Luke, the peace of Christ is the little pieces of Christ. You see here, verse 36, we receive the exact same first words. The first words in the Gospel of John, in this new reality, the same exact first words in this new reality, the risen Christ proclaims and blesses his brothers, his friends, his sisters, his students with these words, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He continues, Jesus perceives this troubledness amongst his disciples, and he says, why are you troubled? He says, why do you have doubts in your mind? And Jesus says, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look, I practiced this in the early service. You're proud of me? I stumbled like a fool in the early service doing this. And Jesus says, look at my hands and look at my feet. Yeah, it's an incredible moment. I think a common interpretation here is that this is a cruciform moment. That Jesus is saying, look at the scars from the cross placed upon my hands and upon my feet. And although I don't have any evidence to critique such, I think such an interpretation is a bit of a jump. Here's why. I think a more accessible interpretation of here are my hands. I think a more first century Middle Eastern interpretation of here are my hands. I think a better, more personal interpretation that seems to be consistent for the life and the ministry of Jesus when he says, here, look at my hands, is this. Jesus sees Peter and all the troubledness and all the doubts in which Peter is experiencing this moment. Jesus looks at Peter and says, remember these hands? Do you remember when you got out of the boat and you walked towards me? Remember as the waves rose and you began to sink? Do you remember as I walked across the water and I came to you and I stuck out my hand to you and you took it? And there we stood, hand in hand, on the water together. Here are my hands. Yeah. He looks at the disciples. And he says, remember when we met the blind man? And he asked for forgiveness and he asked to see again. He said, do you remember? I bent over and took the dirt into my hands. And like a true West Texan, I spit in it. And remember, I made mud with the dirt and I wiped the dirt. I wiped the mud on the blind man's eyes and I took my cloak in my own hands and I wiped this man's eyes free of the mud and he opened his eyes and he could see. He went home praising God. Remember when we did that together? Remember when we, Middle Eastern men, as Middle Eastern men often do you remember when we walked the dirt road hand in hand? Do you remember just a few days ago when we gathered around the table in that upper room and we broke bread together? And I took the bread in these hands and I took the cup in this hand and I shared it with you. Do you remember? Do you remember these hands? there in the garden when I asked you to pray and you pulled out your sword and you injured another, and I took this hand and I healed the one whom you hurt with these hands. See, I don't think it's a cruciform moment. I don't think Jesus is pointing to the wounds in his hands. I think he's pointing to the relationship that he has shared with these, his friends. See these hands. These are the hands that have walked with you. Do you remember when I knelt on my own knees and washed your feet with these hands just a few nights ago? Yeah. This is the peace of Christ. It's just a hand. It's just a simple hand. Which begs the question of us. Whose hand are you holding? Are you holding a lover's hand? Fantastic, beautiful, divine. Are you holding a child or a grandchild's hand? Beautiful. What a ministry. Incredible. Yeah, keep going. Are you holding a parent's hand or a grandparent's hand in a sacred season of life? Absolutely, hold that hand. Maybe you're holding a friend's hand, a friend who has been wronged. And maybe you are also walking with this one in advocacy. Yeah, keep holding those hands. Yeah. Yeah. Whose hand are you holding? And also, maybe you're not in a season in which you can hold another's hand. Yeah. But tell a story, and I'll tell it from a daddy-daughter perspective, because that's the perspective I understand. You can this story, I think, relates in any number of relationships. However, daddy and daughter were at a park that they like to frequent and visit and play, and daddy and daughter were so excited. There had been a new bridge put on, let's call it, on the side of the Playa Lake that went out to an island in the middle of the Playa Lake. And let's just assume that daddy and daughter wanted to walk across Playa Lake, even though probably the island in the middle of the Playa Lake was covered with geese or geese remnants. But the daddy and daughter decide, we're going to walk across this new bridge, crossing the Playa Lake. And as they approached the bridge, dad looked to daughter and said, would you like to take my hand? And as often is the case with daddy and daughter, daughter said, no. God help us. No, I don't want to take your hand. And daughter looked up to daddy and said, will you take my hand? And daddy thinking, I'm going to teach daughter a lesson that there's no difference in the options that she has set forth before us today. And dad says, you know, there's no difference in what I just suggested. And she said, oh, there's a big difference. There's a big difference, daddy, because if I take your hand and you're to slip on the way across this bridge, I don't think I can lift you up. But if I'm to slip, if I am to fall, if I am to stumble, this is a very poetic daughter, by the way, you can lift me up. Yeah. Your hand can lift me up. And maybe you're not in a season to be holding another's hand. Maybe today, just a small piece of the peace of Christ, a small piece of the peace of Christ, is that you're reminded of the hand of God lifting you up. Yeah. If you've stumbled, if you fell, daddy or daughter, yeah. Yeah, the hand of Christ right there with you as the waves rise. Yeah. That's good. The next verse, as I've encountered this week, may be one of my new all-time verses in Scripture. This is Luke 24, verse 41. The NRSV reads, enjoy while they were still disbelieving and wondering. Jesus asked them, do you have anything to eat? It's the greatest piece of Scripture I've read all week. In joy and disbelief, while they were still wondering, Jesus asked to them, do you have anything to eat? And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Joy joy, wonder, disbelief, all there present together. And Jesus asks, do you have something to eat? And last week, John moves us, as the gospel often does, to that which is ethereal. It's incredible. It's an incredible read. And yet this week, the Luke story leads us to that which is material. Yeah. The peace, P-I-E-C-E. Do you have something to eat? Jesus asked. My translation, can I get a piece of that? Yeah, can I get a piece of that? Last week, Jesus breathes on them, suggesting receive the Holy Spirit, that which is beyond words. This week, Jesus leads us back to that which is most simple, the table. The table. Can I get a piece of that? I'd like to leave you with one of my favorite all-time stories. This is a story that reminds me of you quite a bit. So I share it with you as an encouragement, whether you're in a place to hold hands or whether you're in a place to receive a hand. You see, I was in seminary, and a good friend of ours lost his father suddenly. And so we drove to the other country of East Texas, and we celebrated this sudden loss of life in a small town that is outside of a small town. And in this small town, outside of a small town, there is a church. They call it the church. And we gathered for worship, for prayer, for mourning. I was broke and in seminary. Now I'm rich. I was broke and in seminary, and back in the days, it was like 10 cents to send a text message to Allison, you know, and is it worth it? And I remember sitting next to my friend, one of my friends, you know, he was not broke in seminary, although that's not the seminary experience that one should have. But, you always have one of those friends who always has all the technology. It's a great friend to have because they spend a lot of money and they waste a lot of money. But he always had the newest form of technology. I'm thinking maybe some of you resemble that last mark, or there's some arguments that were had on the way to church this morning. Okay, this particular friend had this brand new piece of technology. Hot off, it was the first time I'd ever seen one. It was called an iPhone, a smartphone. And this memorial service for our friend's father was not going very well, okay, at the church there in the country of East Texas. And so instead, I found myself for an hour sitting just like this, like many of you all do most Sunday mornings, watching my friend play. They had games on this phone, and he had a game that had these birds that were all very upset. And you needed to move them around in these different places, and it was fabulous. It was an hour well spent. There at the end of the hour, our friend who spoke at our wedding, he came up and he said a few words, and in 5 minutes he said more beauty, more grace, more joy, more hope. It was incredible. And he invited the congregation to go across from the church and walk across the street to the fellowship hall, where the church would provide cookies and coffee for the family to receive and continue to share stories and mourn and grieve. And so we did. We walked there across the street to the fellowship hall that I've later learned doubled as the bingo hall on Friday night and the dance hall on Saturday night. And in the event the sheriff was ever in a pinch, it also tripled as the county jail. And we sat there at this rickety little plastic table in the corner there, our friends who had traveled in from out of town. And the funeral reception goes as funeral reception goes, until there came a moment in which a young man whom I would describe as Farmstrong, meaning he's got worn coveralls on, he's got his, what I would describe as Monday through Friday boots on. He walks in there through the threshold of the door, and he takes up the entire threshold of the door. this young man is large enough to play offensive line for any collegiate team in our state. And this is the type of young man who would never waste his time running around an artificial field chasing an artificial piece of leather. For this young man runs around real fields chasing real leather. And he walks in through the threshold of the door and he's holding a worn green John Deere baseball cap in his hands, just like this. He comes through the threshold and just behind him is the left tackle and the right tackle. And they also come through the threshold of the doors. And the left tackle and the right tackle are both holding these cardboard boxes. And the bottom of them seem to be wet, and the top of them are covered in aluminum foil. And I think, this is going to be good. The center, the man with the cap, walks up to my friend. He's got a voice that's so deep, even though he's trying to be quiet. The bass and the bravado of this voice, it shakes the whole building. And he says, "Buddy," to my friend who just buried his father amidst tragedy, he says to our friend, he says, "Buddy, you know, I don't like to go to church. You know, I really don't like to go to funerals." He says, "I don't even know what to tell you right now. But me and the boys, we brought 100 pieces of fried chicken." This is the peace of Christ. Yeah. Yeah. We can waste all of our time preaching sermons. We can waste all of our time playing these games. Yeah, but the peace of Christ, that which is immeasurable, that which is beyond comprehension, the peace of Christ tastes no better. Yeah. It has never tasted as good as fried chicken. Yeah. And I kept waiting for him. I'm waiting for him to, you know, look over his shoulder like a real Baptist would and be like, "As soon as preacher gets out of here, we got some cold beverages too." No. The peace of Christ is served by leathered hands on cheap plastic tables on greasy, greasy plates. Yeah, the peace of Christ in these small pieces. My friend who buried his father, as you, many of you well know, at that moment, he became the primary caretaker for his mother. His mother, who loves the Lord, who grew up in the church in that town, she's an incredible woman of faith. As I understand, she's doing quite well now. My friend is taking great care of this woman. However, if I ever hear that he lost his mother, if I ever hear of a memorial service for his mother, we're driving to East Texas. And we might not make it to the funeral service, but you better believe we'll be there at the fellowship hall afterwards. May the peace of Christ, my brothers and sisters and friends, be with you. I invite you to stand. And however you feel comfortable, if you'd like to keep your hands together, if you'd like to keep your mask on, if you'd like to just make eyes, if you'd like to bump a fist or bump an elbow, bump a hip, whatever you'd like to do, we invite you now to pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Will you pray with me? Lord, with deep gratitude, I thank you for these people gathered here this morning. 37 years ago, Patty and I married into this congregation, seeking to know you better and do the essential work of following the divine. The saints and the sinners you have drawn together at Second B have loved on us and shown us how to love, seeing you in them, finding you in us. It's not always been a smooth journey, but it's the only journey that makes sense, and it has made all the difference in our lives. Lord, accept these gifts, generously given, because we know the peace of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, thank you. What a joy, what a gift it is to worship with you. I want to take a moment just to thank you for your kindness, your faith, your generosity. If you read any of the newsletter this week, I mean, all through 2020 and even this first quarter of 2021, you've been so faithful. We're thankful for each and every gift that you have shared. It is a reminder of the blessing of God. Thankful for these, our friends who have led us in worship today. Would you join me in appreciating them? Absolutely. Receive these words of our late brother and friend. It is the love of God that has created all that there is. It is the grace of God that has blessed it even until this very moment. And it is the peace of Christ fully revealed in your hands and in your cooking. And may that peace be with you. Amen.